Thank you, Joe. When I started in the ministry, I had an elderly pastor tell me they never started a service that they didn't finish. You got the reading right, finally. Thank you for checking me. And I'm glad to preach this homiletical help. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Maybe you have walked through a garden and seen this plaque. Or maybe you have seen this plaque when you browse through a garden shop. The kiss of the sun for pardon, the song of the birds for mirth. One is nearer God's heart in a garden than anywhere else on earth. If you love gardening, the way Diane and I love to be in the yard, working with dirt and plants, you know that it is not as idyllic as Dorothy Frances Gurney says in her little poem. Did you ever get poison ivy from working in the garden? I do all the time. I'm a magnet for poison ivy. I've got a standing prescription at the pharmacy for, what do they call it, prednisone to get rid of poison ivy. Do you ever get jigger bites? Ever get shocked by seeing a snake in the garden? Ever throw out your back in the garden? See this finger? I broke it in the garden. So maybe this gardening thing isn't quite as idyllic as the song of the birds for mirth, the kiss of the sun for pardon. Working in the garden is a reminder both of the magnificence of God's creation. Wow. It's also a reminder of how sin has corrupted creation. So today's text is not about a garden, it's about a vineyard, but I assume that the attraction of a vineyard and garden is similar. I will sing for the one I love, a song about his garden. My loved one had a vineyard on a fertile hillside. He dug it up and cleared it of stones and planted it with the choicest vines. He built a watchtower on it and cut out a wine press as well. Then he looked for a crop of good grapes, but things didn't turn out in the garden, in the vineyard, as idyllically as expected. Then he looked for a crop of good grapes, but it yielded only bad fruit. Wild grapes in the vineyard, weeds in the garden. Did you ever plant something and you finally had to decide this isn't working out? This is not turning out per plan, and you just uprooted the whole thing? Now I will tell you what I am going to do with my vineyard, says the Lord. I will take away its edge, and it will be destroyed. I will break down its wall, and it will be trampled. I will make a wasteland, neither pruned nor cultivated, and briars and thorns will grow there. I will command the clouds not to rain on it. Looking for fruit, good grapes, in his pleasant planting. Didn't get it. Now, this text is not about vineyards or about gardens. It's about the people of God. It's about ancient Israel, and it's about you and me today. Verse 7. The vineyard of the Lord Almighty is the house of Israel and the men of Judah. They are the garden of his delight. The ESV translates his pleasant plant. planting. And he looked for justice, but saw bloodshed, for righteousness, but heard cries of distress. God planted ancient Israel because he loved ancient Israel, and he tended ancient Israel, and he wanted good grapes. But instead he got the wild grapes of injustice and a lack of righteousness. Today, you and I are the pleasant planting of God. And he has planted you and planted me by baptism. He has raised us up, nurtured us, cultivates us by apostles and prophets. Every time the chapel bell rings, every time a sermon is preached, every time a Bible lesson is read here or studied in classroom, every time we have honest, pastoral, fraternal conversations with one another about our spiritual life, God is nurturing and cultivating his garden. He's growing it up. It's his garden, you know. It's not our church, our seminary, our synod. It's his. He planted us. He cultivates, he nurtures us because he loves us. He loves you. Put in your name. He loves me. We are the pleasant planting, and because he loves us so and has invested so much in us, what do? He looks to us for grapes. Good grapes for fruit. He looks for righteousness and justice. He looks for him to his church, to you and to me, for the righteousness that is faith in the one who loved us and gave himself up for us. And he looks for justice, which is the second great commandment, to love our neighbor as ourselves. Well, when he looked at Israel, he didn't see righteousness and justice. Jesus picked up on that later in Matthew chapter 21. In Matthew chapter 21, he uses the image of the vineyard, and he says, man planted a vineyard. He let it out to tenants. And when the time came for the rent to be paid, he sent servants to the tenants, and they killed him. In exasperation, he sent his son, and you know the name of the son. You love the son. We're here because of the son. And they killed him too. And what Jesus says, will the Lord do with those tenants? He will bring those wretches to a wretched end. And he will rent the vineyard to other tenants who will give him his share of the crop at harvest time. You and I are, as I said, the pleasant planting of the Lord, planted through baptism, nurtured and cultivated through the word, through preaching, teaching, through the supper. And he's looking to us to display righteousness, the faith that is in Jesus Christ, and love for the neighbor, whoever the neighbor may be. But we don't always do that, do we? I don't, and I'm sure that you will admit that you don't either. We don't always produce righteousness. We don't always do acts of kindness, mercies to other people. Too often we yield wild grapes instead of the good grapes that should come from the precious planting of the Lord. And part of the gospel this morning is that we are in a time of grace, and it is the goodness of God that leads us to repentance, That's in Romans chapter 2, verse 4. It is the goodness of God, the kindness of God that leads us to repent. The whole thing is about love. It all comes down to the love that God had for ancient Israel, that he has for you and me. The love that planted us, the love that nurtures us, the love that we respond to with righteousness and justice to everyone we meet. Jesus says, because the climax of the story is the beloved Son, sent, killed, raised again, new birth, new spring. Jesus says in John 14, if a man love me, he will obey my commandments. So we are the Pleasant Planting. And getting back to that poem that started the service, you know, where is one nearer God's heart than in a garden? I'll tell you, we are nearer God's heart when you and I, in this Pleasant Planting of the church, are with one another, gathered around the love of Jesus. In his name, amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.